Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS, 6:34 on a Wednesday evening. Thanks for joining us. Well, the Michigan Court of Appeals today ruling that someone can, in fact, be arrested for possession of medical marijuana if they don't have their identifying card with them. What are the implications of this ruling and some of the others we've recently seen from the court when it comes to medical marijuana? To find out, I'm joined by Matthew Abel, attorney at the Cannabis Council Law Office. He's also the executive director of Michigan Normal. Matthew, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Hello, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here.
In some ways, this ruling makes sense. A police officer in the case that was involved in this ruling approached somebody sitting in a car. He had a bag of marijuana in his lap. He did not have his medical marijuana card on him. He was arrested. I mean, if a police officer can't confirm that someone is, in fact, legally allowed to have this marijuana, shouldn't they have the right to arrest that person?
Well, that's what the Court of Appeals said today, that they do, in fact, have that right. And it's kind of a problem for many patients because the state of Michigan is so far behind in issuing cards and renewal cards. Currently, it takes, I think, around 6 to 8 weeks for them to send a renewal. And so if someone applies right before their card is going to be expired, they will be walking around with paperwork only for a month or two until the state has provided them with a new plastic card. And so that's a pretty bulky thing to be carrying around, at least one 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper folded up in your wallet as opposed to a plastic card. And some people think that you need not only the application, but the doctor's recommendation mm-hmm. and the form with the caregiver. And so it can be a packet of 4 or 5 pages.
I mean,
somebody might have to carry around with them all the time.
The implication of the situation almost sounded as though he had the medical marijuana there, was potentially going to even smoke it there, and it was in a public place. Now, when you're a medical marijuana patient and you have the card, you're able to carry the marijuana. You're not allowed to consume it, though, in public, right?
That's correct. That's one of the prohibitions, so you're not allowed to smoke it in a public place, is what the law says.
I see.
Perhaps you could eat a brownie in a public place, but that would be different.
So this ruling, is it very significant? Are you seeing a lot of cases involving police officers arresting someone for this particular reason?
Well, it clarifies an issue. It's not as big as the King decision was a couple of weeks ago, but it clarifies for sure that a patient needs to carry the card on or about their person, or at least have it in a place where they can get to it. They use the example of a patient who lives in, you know, is at home. It would be acceptable for it to be in their car, you know, if they leave their wallet in their car or something like that, but not to be at a separate place from the card.
Now, you're talking about the King decision. This was a ruling by the Michigan Supreme Court, and it was a positive one for medical marijuana patients. Now, this guy, Larry King, yeah. He apparently was growing marijuana, and he was accused of not having a locked caged situation for the plants. What was, the case, and what kind of precautions are medical marijuana patients now supposed to take based on this ruling?
Well, first of all, the King case is not over. I represented Larry King in the trial court when the case was dismissed, and the ACLU took it up to the Supreme Court for us. But Mr. King was growing 6 plants in a dog kennel in his backyard where the state police testified that they could just push it over, that it was not attached to the ground. He also had 6 plants in his house. And there's an issue about the type of, he had a bar on the door, on the back door. There was not, you know, a traditional lock, but it was where he came and went from the front of the house, and the back door, when he opened it, was, you know, he lifted the bar and went out. And there wasn't complete testimony on that. We didn't really need it. The judge didn't feel that he needed it. He had dismissed the case. We're going back in front of the same judge who initially dismissed that case. But the important thing that came out of the King decision is that it finally put to rest that there are 2 avenues of protection. Both require a doctor to have recommended the medical use of marijuana. But in one case, the person will have gone and filled out the application and obtained a card from the state of Michigan, mm-hmm. and that's under Section 4 of the Act, where it talks about 12 plants and 2.5 ounces per patient. The other section is Section 8, if someone perhaps had it, and if there's an issue about whether it's locked or if their quantity was over those amounts, they still can argue to a jury that a doctor recommended it, the quantity was no more than reasonably necessary, and it was for medical use. And as long as the jury believes that, the case should be dismissed. And in fact, the judge has the power to dismiss a case on motion. The King Court also said that we are required to bring it by motion. It's interesting because there's legislation pending that's already passed the House that removes that requirement, in my opinion, because it says we'd have the right to argue that to the finder of fact, regardless of whether we brought the motion in a pretrial phase.
I see. So are you saying the ruling basically is that that in general, if somebody has the right to have these plants, small discrepancies are not grounds for prosecution?
Well, they might be, but they're not automatically fatal. It's up to a jury as to whether, right, the enclosed lock facility is not an absolute requirement. And that's why there was a fallback provision under Section 8, that if a doctor recommended it, the quantity was reasonable, and it was for medical use, the case shall be dismissed.
Is that the affirmative defense?
That's the affirmative defense, and it was intended to protect patients, not to get a bunch of people who have medical issues charged with felonies and clog up the criminal justice system. The toxicologist of the state of Michigan said that 55% of the controlled substances analyses they do at the state police lab are marijuana.
Well,
you know, we need to legalize marijuana, take that burden off them, and let them chase violent criminals for a change.
I'm talking to Matthew Abel, attorney at the Cannabis Council Law Office, also the executive director of Michigan Normal. So give me a sense of it. How aggressive is law enforcement being in pursuing any kind of medical marijuana issues right now? And have they become more so in the past year or so?
Well, it's interesting. The state police put out bulletins to police officers to notify them about changes in the law, and there already has been a bulletin put out today about the Nicholson case, and it seems it pretty clearly informs officers that they can arrest people if they're not in possession of the card at the time that they're in possession of marijuana. And so, you know, some police are a lot more aggressive than others, and there are regional discrepancies. The biggest problem that I can see is the regional task forces that need to be defunded, the Thumb Area Narcotics and Downriver Drano and Western Wayne Narcotics and Lawnet, Livingston and Washtenaw Area Narcotics and the Straits Area Narcotics, the Sting, and those folks are not respecting the medical marijuana law, where the county sheriffs are laying off patients. Then we have, you know, these regional task forces that are swooping in, and many times they're not even bringing criminal charges. They're just doing armed robberies, stealing all the equipment, and doing forfeiture proceedings on property. I heard today about a case in Macomb County. They took took $75,000 worth of property from somebody's house who was a legal grower, and they want him to post $7,500 bond to fight this forfeiture case.
The legislation, obviously, there's a group of bills that are meant to clarify the medical marijuana law. Do you think that legislation is going to make things maybe a bit more clear for law enforcement, also for medical marijuana patients?
Not at all. In fact, it's comical because they amend these bills. The bill that passed the House already, where now the law says enclosed lock facility, they're going to change it to say completely enclosed lock facility. And then they go on to further say, you know, enclosed on all sides except the floor. Well, with all this clarity, they still don't say whether it needs a roof or not.
But what about,
crying out loud, if you want them to put a roof on it, say it.
What about the concern, though? I mean, if you don't have stringent regulations, especially on the plants themselves, I mean, doesn't that open the door for those plants to be stolen by someone in the neighborhood to get out of the control of that medical marijuana patient? Isn't that, in fact, very likely to happen?
Well, Mike, I don't have a problem with clarifying the law. My position is this legislation does not do that, unfortunately. They went to all this trouble, and you still don't know whether you need a roof or not legally. But, I mean, you know, wouldn't you think two fences would be enough, or one fence with chicken wire or concertina wire on the top might be enough? It depends where you are. And, I mean, I think people always need really good security, and that's very important. And not to be overlooked, but I don't think they should be prosecuted if perhaps their security is not as good as it should be.
One last thing. If we do get this ballot proposal that would legalize marijuana in Michigan, wouldn't we see more of these kinds of issues, plants growing potentially everywhere and people using marijuana in a much more open way?
Well, that ballot proposal, and the website is repealtoday.org, would legalize marijuana for industrial and commercial and agricultural uses and for food and fuel and fiber and all of those things that are not. My position is everybody who wants to get high already is, that it's time to back law enforcement off of this crazy pursuit, and let's use this as the economic engine that it can be, that it was back in the early 1900s. My office in Detroit is three blocks from Park Davis. They were making cannabis tinctures in the early 1900s and selling it as medicines. And it was the pharmaceutical companies and the plastic companies and the paper companies that made marijuana illegal in the first place. And
but
we really need to reverse that.
For opponents, that's a frightening vision, though, of having marijuana potentially just much more available and many more people.
Alcohol is much more harmful than marijuana is in our society, so there's really nothing to fear. It's shown in the medical marijuana states that drunk driving instances have been reduced and traffic fatalities have been reduced.
I see. Well,
marijuana is the safer alternative.
We'll see where we go from here. Matthew Abel, attorney at the Cannabis Council Law Office, also the executive director of Michigan Normal. Matthew, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about what these health insurance companies are up to. They're starting to market things to you directly. They're going to have to, and they've been planning for it, and now they're beginning to do it. Hang out to find out what that's all about next time. Michael Cohen, this is 1320 WILS.